Hello, everyone. I'm Julie Harker with Brownfield. Will Secor is economist with CoBank of Grain and Farm Supply.
Co-op consolidation, the issues, and the future.
Yeah, so it's really fascinating what's going on in that space. We've seen a pretty significant merger wave here in the mid-2010s in the co-op space. And the future is for continued consolidation, perhaps not at the same pace we've seen. But really, the big driver is for co-ops to try and find more value and continue to increase the value they have for their farmer members, whether that's through efficiencies of scale, whether it's managerial efficiency that they can get, better bargaining power with their input suppliers. They're all just trying to drive to be better, and one way to do that is by being bigger.
Okay, so is bigger always better?
Not at all. Better is better. So that's one of the things that I think a lot of folks are starting to look at now is we're going to continue to look for merger and acquisitions in the space, but we need to make sure it makes sense. And that's always what's been the case. But there's always been different, whenever you look at one particular merger versus another, there's always slight differences. But those are some of the big trends around gaining efficiencies, making sure that you can provide the services that make sense for a growing farmer. And for a consolidating manufacturer set, make sure that you can still get the bargaining power to get good prices for those inputs.
Okay. Blockchain technology. So there's a lot of buzz about that right now. And is that warranted?
I think it's certainly an exciting technology. There's some really interesting things around, trying to reduce fraud once the data gets onto the blockchain, having better ways to trace food, where it came from, reduce redundancies, moving paper contracts around, especially in international trade. The only thing is I see there's still some hurdles and when we try and transfer the information that we're getting from the physical world to the digital world. There can be mistakes, there can be outright fraud that is introduced within the blockchain, and that can be difficult to take back out. There's also some other technologies, traditional centralized databases. When you have trust within those individuals using that centralized database, it's oftentimes more efficient than blockchain still, but that trust piece would be important there.
Well, a lot of people are saying that you make an interesting point that fraud can be introduced to blockchain, but it's kind of a private situation, so you kind of have to know who's coming in and who's coming out.
Exactly. So I guess what I'm trying to say is there's still that physical world that needs to be translated onto the digital world. Once it's on the digital world, it is fraud-free, more or less. But it's that transferring the information, whether it's fraudulent, whether it's a mistake, and bringing it onto the blockchain, that's still a space that can start to be some misinformation that's brought onto the blockchain. So trying to take that out takes sensors, takes RFID tags, takes a lot of infrastructure to make that that step of, translating what's going on in the real world and putting it on the blockchain automatic. Getting that infrastructure would be the next step there.
Okay, very good. And what's ahead for the grain markets, industry disruptions and all kinds of things going on right now?
Absolutely. So certainly headwinds on trade is a major factor right now, particularly for soybean markets. In corn, they've largely avoided a lot of the trade disputes. So exports for corn probably will be pretty strong this year. One bright spot, I think, for soybean markets is a couple of crush plants coming online by the end of 2019. And one of those is going to be in South Dakota. So hopefully, if there's some rays of light at the end of this soybean market tunnel downturn would be some of this additional capacity coming online in the U.S. A third one will be coming online somewhere in North Dakota, Spiritwood, North Dakota. The timeline on that, I'm not sure, but that would be another kind of bright spot for soybean markets.
And what's the other one? You said three.
Yeah, so one in North Dakota, one in South Dakota. There's one in Michigan as well that will be coming online. So where we've seen a lot of regional issues, particularly with soybeans in the Dakotas, whether there's no bid at elevators or just really low basis, having those two plants up there would be a very, very beneficial situation for farmers up there.
That's Will Secor, economist of Grain and Farm Supply with CoBank. I'm Julie Harker with Brownfield.